Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 14, I want us to read that. You know, we talked about this morning putting people in categories, amen? We do that, don't we? Don't y'all put people in categories? We've all put people in categories. The has-beens, the beens, and wannabes. Our baby boomers. You know, if you was born in between 1946 and 1964, you were a baby boomer. And then the baby busters came along after that, and then the generation X, Y, and Z after that. We categorize people by race and by religion and gender. And, you know, you go to fill out these papers and you have to write your nationality there. We sometimes hear Native Americans, African Americans, American Americans, and Mexican Americans. In Texas, we're Texans. In Oklahoma, we're Okies. And in Arkansas, well, we're just Arkansas hillbillies. But we categorize people, and I want you to know that it might surprise you, but God puts people in categories too. Starting with verse 14, it's the first one is the natural man. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then in verse chapter 3, verse 3, he says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, that you might show us the things that we need to see and give you praise and glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts now, and we'll give you that praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, categories. Everybody here in this sanctuary is in one of these three categories. You're either the natural man, the carnal man, or the spiritual man. Now, I want to talk about those three, and then I'm going to ask you, which one are you in tonight? For every one of us are here. Now, the natural man, look at what it says in 2:14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, or unto him. Neither can he know, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I want you to think about that. The natural man. The natural man refers to a man or a woman or a boy or girl that's led by their own senses, their own desires in the flesh. In the Latin, the word is one who is governed by the lower passions of himself, instead of being led by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or the higher passions. The natural man, who is the person? Well, the natural man, when the Bible talks about the natural man, he speaks, or it speaks, of someone who is lost. If you're here tonight and you're under the category of the natural man, it's because the things of the Bible are foolishness to you. And that simply means that you are a lost person. And one who the Bible says has never been born again. One who's never received the Spirit of God into their life. One who's had the natural birth, but no spiritual birth has taken place in your life. If you're here and you've never been born again, the Bible says God puts you in the category of the natural man. Is that the category you're in? You've never been born again. You've never received the things of the Spirit. You don't understand the things of God. The things of the Bible are foolishness to you. The Bible says here they are bound by the earthly things, their own desires. Instead of God's desires, you are following after your desires, what you want in life, not God's desire. The natural man lives simply for the fleshly desires in the world. Now, you all know people who are lost. You know that they follow after the natural things of this world. Paul says in Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. We all fulfilled the desires of the flesh, of the mind, whereby nature we were children of wrath. We were under God's wrath. So if you're in the category tonight of the natural man, the Bible says God's wrath is upon you. If you were to die tonight without Christ, you would spend an eternity in a place called hell, separated from God, separated from God's love. You'd be under the judgment of the wrath of God. Now, how does a lost person live? The Bible says they live according to the lust of the flesh. They simply want to fulfill their desire of the flesh. And the Bible also says this was what we once were in the natural life. We were living for the flesh while we were lost. I can remember being lost. I can remember upon a day before I trusted Jesus Christ. I live for the desires of this world. I live for the desires of this flesh. God had no place in my life. I was living for Byron Jones. I was living for what I wanted. Life was one big party to me. Our whole life was covered with the worldly things. All I wanted was to seek the worldly things in life. Why do people live that way? Have you ever thought about why people live the way they live in the natural under the natural carnal deal, natural life? There's only one explanation we can say is they're lost. They're without Christ. They don't know the things of God. They don't know anything else but to follow after their own desire, because there's nothing really else in life to them but themselves. They live for themselves. Their life is merely a reflection of what they are. Now understand this. A person is not lost because they sin. I want you to understand that. A person in the natural, carnal, or natural life is not lost because they sin. They sin because they are lost. Did you understand that? A person is not lost because they sin. They sin because they're lost. They are sinners because they're not sinners because they sin. They sin because we're sinners. We're sinners. We were born with sin in our life, so therefore we're sin. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And then I like what it says, because they're a foolishness unto him. That word receives means to welcome. The natural man does not welcome the spiritual things in his life. If you go out and you knock on some doors, it won't be long till you find a natural man. As a matter of fact, probably the first person you knock on the door, you'll find a natural man there. You'll find a man probably lost there in that house. Odds are he will be lost. Now, you might find one that says, I go to church, but they still might be lost. They may be following the desires of their own life. And this is exactly why when you talk about going to church to a lost person, it goes in one ear and out the other. Have you ever thought about it? They simply are not interested in the things of God. They do not understand the things of God. That's the reason if a person is going to be saved, how does one get saved? Through faith, I know. But one is saved by the Holy Spirit convicting that person of their sin. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit convicts your heart that you are lost. That is the reason it's important for to pray for the lost people, that the Holy Spirit will show them that lostness in their life. Because otherwise, everything I say is just merely foolishness to them. They're not interested, and they go out of here lost. And to the natural man, it says their foolishness to him, that word foolishness. It's a word that means distasteful. It's distasteful to that person. In other words, they do not have an appetite for the things of God. The things of God just don't appeal to them at all. They're merely foolishness. A lost person has no spiritual desire to trust God for his life. He is blind to the eternal things of God. You talk about eternity, and it seems to just go right over their head. Oh, we're going to live forever. No, you're going to die. What then, after death? Well, I don't know. I suppose I'll just die. That's not what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't care if you believe the Bible or not. It's still true. Well, that's what you say. You see, I've had a lot of conversations with lost people before. I know their answers, what they're going to say. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, neither can they know them. In other words, to a lost person, when they read this book, and they read, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. They're thinking about what's washed, what's sanctified. Unless the Holy Spirit enlightens them, unless the Holy Spirit quickens those words to their heart, they do not have any idea what they're saying. Good example. Over in the New Testament, John chapter 3, we were pretty close to it this morning. I talked about this man. This man was named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious man, wasn't he? He knew all about the laws. He knew all about what they were supposed to learn. He could probably quote it to you. But Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, a wise teacher, a wise person, says, what's this born again thing? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he had no idea whatsoever of the spiritual things that Jesus Christ was talking to him. And then Jesus goes into this explanation about how one is born again. And things of the Spirit is the Spirit, and things of the flesh is flesh. And finally, it was as the Lord was talking to him, a light came on in his mind. But you see, unless the Holy Spirit works in their life, they're like Nicodemus, and he says, How can these things be? Before one becomes a Christian, before I became a Christian, I wondered, why is it so important to go to church? And if you go out and talk to people, you'll find that most of them will say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church. I watch it on television. They have no idea why they need to be in church. They're lost. Before I was saved, I was the same way. I was blind to the spiritual things of life. And if you're here tonight and you're in the category of the natural man, you're probably sitting there thinking, when is he going to be through? What's he talking about? And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will enlighten you, to wake you up, that you might understand that everybody that without Christ dies and goes to eternity lost. Before I was saved, I wondered what the big deal was about going to Bible study. I hear people all the time say, well, preacher, why do you want to go to Bible study? That sounds boring. You ever thought about that? Why do you want to go to Bible study? But I tell you what, when you're saved, when you're born again, you know what? The Spirit is alive within you, and you want to learn all that you can, you see, about the Word of God. You want to go to Bible study. I don't know about you, but when I sit down in Bible, in the Sunday school class, we call it Sunday school. Some people call it Bible study time. But when I sit down there, I am interested in hearing about what the Bible says to me. And the more you study it, the more it comes to enlighten you. And you never get too old to learn something new. Now, if you're sitting there tonight and you're wondering, what is he talking about? You're probably in the class of the natural man. And if you're in the class of the natural man, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I going to let Jesus Christ become ruler of my life? And if you're wondering if you're a natural man, you ought to ask yourself this question. Has there ever been a time in my life when I realized that I was without Christ and I needed to be saved, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior? You see, a lot of people tell me, well, I don't remember a time like that. Do you have to remember a time? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But I know one thing. It's such an important date in my mind, it has stuck there. Because I can go back to that time in my life in May of 1975 when I stepped out and trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because it was such a dramatic time in my life, for I was a natural man, and I knew I was a natural man, and I knew that if I died there, even though I'd been in church all my life, if I died at that very moment, I would be lost for all eternity. And there was a point in my life where the Holy Spirit spoke to my life and said, listen, either you step out by faith and trust me as Lord and Savior, or you can be separated from me all eternity. That is something that weighs on my mind. And I know that night I stepped out by faith. Have I ever wondered? No. I know that I haven't done things that are pleasing to God always, but I know there was a time in my life that I simply by faith said, Lord, I'm tired of the way I'm living, and I need you as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you to come into my life. I deserved it not. There's nothing that I did that night to deserve being saved. It was by faith, through the grace of God, that I'm saved. And you see, you remember those things. Now, you ought to ask yourself in your life, has there ever been a time when I stepped out by faith and trusted Jesus Christ? For I realized I was a natural man. Now, we're not talking about religion. Or we're not talking about joining a church. A lot of people get that as a holdup. Well, I go to church. I've joined a church. You can join all the churches you want to. But do you have a personal relationship with Christ? That's what we're asking. Has there ever been a time? You know, I said a while ago, I grew up in church. I went to church even before I was born. My mother went to church, and I went with her. And after 9 months, I was born, and I went to the nursery. We didn't have a nursery. But I sit at the back because I know that my grandmother was there, and I know that my mother was there. And we went every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and every Sunday night. I was telling someone a while ago, we didn't have a youth director. We didn't have a children's director. We just had a preacher, and he preached the Word. And I went every night and every day, and I was thinking, why in the world am I going to church? I went to church all those years, and 21 years later, I realized I was still lost. Going to church does not save you. It's what you do with Jesus Christ in your life. And let me tell you something. When he came into my life, it was no longer boring going to church. Hey, I played the piano since I was 8 years old. All of those things did not make me a Christian. Those are things that I did because Mama and Daddy wanted me to. They took me to church. And you know, I don't begrudge them of those years, because if it hadn't been for them taking me to church, I'd have probably never realized that I was lost. You see, are you a natural person tonight? God categorizes us, and then he says carnal people. Look at verse 3:1. And brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. Now, carnal, what is carnal? Carnal is that which pertains as one living in the flesh. That old carnal part of a person. Paul says, the carnal behave. What do they behave like? Natural people. If you are a carnal person, you're probably in church tonight, and you may be here in church, and you're behaving like the natural person because you have remained a babe in Christ. We would not know you're saved at all except for those words, in Christ. You see, carnality speaks of that issues its life to flesh. You're controlled by fleshly desire, and you're still carnal. This is a person that's saved, and I know he's saved because Paul says you're in Christ. Paul said that carnal, that the carnal person walks as men. Although they may be saved, they still act like the natural person. And we know people who are carnal, don't we? We know people who are carnal that are living inside the church. They live, they act, they say the same things that someone that's lost says, the natural person says. And unfortunately, there are those in our churches today that are unsaved, that are living like the saved people. And there's people in our churches that are saved that are living like the unsaved. And they're drawing people in to our churches, and they're all still lost, and they're still babes. And they remain as babes. I hope you're not in that category tonight. I hope you're not in a saved position that are acting like a carnal person, for you're dragging people to hell every day that you live that way. For a lot of people see you in church and say, you know, I'm as good as old so-and-so. I know a deacon that's in a church that's he's doing the same thing that we're doing, so we must be all right. Now, I'm not talking about any of our deacons. I want you know. But you know people like that, don't you? I know a Sunday school teacher, they would say. They're living the same way that we live. We must be all right. They're in church every Sunday. It doesn't do them any good to go to church. They live like we do, so why not stay home? We've all heard that, haven't we? Those carnal Christians are literally dragging people down in their life. And unfortunately, there's more of those who live like the unsaved in our churches today than they are that are saved. And they have remained spiritual babes in Christ. And it indicates that they've never really spiritually grew in their life. Why is it important to study the Word of God? So that you can grow. If a baby is small and they do baby things, it's kind of cute. But when a baby grows up and they're still acting like a baby, then it's not so cute, is it? And when a person of God, he says he's a spiritual person, and he grows up in his life, and he stays in church, and yet he still remains as a babe and acts like a babe and fusses like a babe, it gets pretty monotonous, doesn't it? There's a time when we need to grow up, the Bible says. I love newborns. They are precious. I saw one this morning, and they're so precious. They're so sweet. But you know what? They can be little devils if you ain't careful. They can cry, and they can cry, and they can throw a temper tantrum, and it doesn't take long for that precious little baby to know exactly how to get what he wants. Is that right or wrong? It's a great growing up process, isn't it? But if they continue, and we think, well, they've got daddy and they got mama, they got them wrapped around their little finger. And that's cute. I don't mind them wrapping them around your little finger every once in a while. But you say they're 13 or 14, and they're still telling you what to do and what they want and throwing a fit and hissy if they don't get it. That little wrapping around a finger is not so pleasant anymore, is it? No, it's not. And let me tell you something, when God looks down into his churches and he sees people that have been born again, they've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're throwing a hissy in church and griping and fussing because they don't get their way in a service, it's not too pleasant. And that's what Paul said here. I wish that I could speak to you as spiritual people, but you're still babes in Christ. You have been saved, but you've never grown. So the category, I got to get rid of through here. Somebody wants to go home. Deacons know who I'm talking about. I still got 10 minutes, Brother Ivan. I'm just kidding, Brother Ivan. Spiritual people, we'll be through plenty of time. Spiritual people. 2:15, 1 Corinthians 2:15. Now the spiritual man is what? Governed by the Spirit. Folks, the Bible says the spiritual person is one. He is a discerning person. Look what it says. He is spiritually discerned in verse 14. You see? He's governed by the Spirit. When it comes to spiritual things, unlike the natural man, there's an understanding. To the natural man, it's foolishness, but to the spiritual person, it's an understanding. And it says, 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. That word judges means that a spiritual person is able to sift through all the evidence and come up with the right decision about life. You hear all that's going on, and you're able to understand the right way to go. You're able to judge all things, it says, that come and come to the right conclusion because you're right with God. You have prayed about it. You have thought about it. And you're able to discern what's right according to God's word, you see. And then it says in 15 that not only that, you are a different person. You're judged by no man. A spiritual man is able to understand all things. And the world is never able to understand the spiritual man. You know, that's something. The world cannot understand me. The world cannot understand you. The world does not understand why we go to church. The world does not understand why we give up Sunday night to go to Bible study and stuff. The world can explain that I know that something's different about that person, but they don't understand what makes that person different. Now, do they? We are spirit-led rather than flesh-controlled. We walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. And wherever you're led by the Spirit, you can say, I know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Folks, that's the difference between a natural man and a spiritual man. A natural man doesn't understand anything but the flesh. The spiritual man is able to take the things of God and understand those things. Now, after understanding the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man, which reflects your life? You think about that. Which reflects your life? If it's the natural man, then you need to come to Christ right now. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. The greatest need you have in your life is salvation, and only Jesus Christ can give that to you. You need to come to Him. If you're the carnal man, you need to take your Christianity seriously and be faithful to God, faithful to His church, and faithful to service to God. You see, the greatest problem in our churches today, I believe, is we have a bunch of carnal people that do not take their service to God seriously. And then there's a spiritual person. I hope that every one of you here tonight are a spiritual person. A.W. Tozer says this, "He feels supreme love for those he has never seen." Make sense? It does. A spiritual person empties himself in order to be full. He admits he is wrong to be declared right. He's the richest, the Bible says, when he's the poorest. He's the happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live. He forsakes life so he can have life. And he seeks the invisible, which cannot be seen by the eye of flesh. Now, God sees us in one of these categories tonight: the natural, the carnal, or the spiritual. Which one are you in? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening our eyes. Lord, I pray that everyone here can see the category that they're in. And if they're not in the spiritual, Lord, I pray tonight they will seek that direction. Get away from the natural and grow up from the carnal, that we might be spiritual persons in this church. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.